Hello and welcome to Women as Driving Engine for Sustainable Business of Tomorrow, our podcast series. The series that shines a light on the journeys, the challenges, and triumphs of women entrepreneurs from all walks of life. This podcast series is a result of the Erasmus Plus funded project IWEAR, an abbreviation standing for Empowering Young Entrepreneurs Women with Education and Additional Resources. It's a project implemented within the time frame March 2024 to August 2025, and the partners behind this project are ICI et Allure from La Réunion, France, MVID from the Netherlands, and STP from Spain. I'm your host, Lilia Terzieva, and I'm so excited to have you join us today. Whether you're starting out or well on your way in your entrepreneurial journey, this podcast here is to inspire, guide, and empower you. Today we have a very special guest. She's an incredible entrepreneur who has managed to transform, to engage, and to inspire in everything that you can imagine could be service-related industries, known for her resilience, innovative power, enthusiasm, and passion. Please welcome Anki, the founder of Seez. Thank you so much for joining us today, Anki.
Thank you for inviting me, Lilia.
I'm really glad and very excited that you will be here with us. So let's dive in. And to kick things off and melt a little bit this ice in the beginning, can you shortly tell us a little bit about your background and what inspired you to start Seez as a company?
That's actually quite a funny story, because as a kid, I already knew from really young age that I knew two things. So one, I would once in my life make a really big journey. And second, I would become an entrepreneur. And then life starts and you go to school and you study. And I studied industrial product design at The Hague University and business administration at the Erasmus University. And then you would think that I would have become an entrepreneur, but no, I decided to start my career at the Dutch government, working with Dutch companies who wanted to innovate and wanted to do international business abroad. So that's totally the opposite from becoming an entrepreneur, because the Dutch government is quite structured and very well organized. But somehow I managed to combine it still with advising Dutch companies on how to set up their businesses and set up innovative projects. And I had several roles at the Dutch government for 9 years. And after 9 years, I decided to get away a little bit and to really think about what really makes me happy. So I took a sabbatical year and I quit my job, went to Africa, had a lot of adventures in Africa. And at the end of this travelings, I decided to sail the oceans from Cape Town to Seattle. And after returning from that adventure, I decided, you know what? I think now it's the time in my life that I can become an entrepreneur. I've survived all these adventures in Africa. Now I'm able to survive at being an entrepreneur. So I started my company at the 1st of January in 2013, totally not knowing how to be an entrepreneur, which was quite challenging in the first year. And now I'm already an entrepreneur for 11 years, and I'm still standing. So every year is a big surprise that I'm still standing, because being an entrepreneur is like a roller coaster. Sometimes you have very good times, but also sometimes you have some low times. Yeah, and this is actually how I started my company.
Wow, this is an amazing story to hear, because I'm sure that a lot of learners and listeners, because we have our listeners being really great learners, we'll be now hearing that and thinking, all right, so it is not too late, neither too early. It is just the moment when you can absolutely fulfill that role, and having lived through things that have inspired you to say, now I am becoming? So hearing that, and especially your transition from a very hierarchical and structural world, such as the government one, to something which is resembling a roller coaster, oh my, this is definitely a process that causes dynamics in waves. So it's so interesting how everyone's journey is different from one another, and what entrepreneurship can be for all these different entrepreneurs. But now, starting a business, it always comes with a lot of challenges. And I'm sure it wasn't always a smooth ride or smooth sailing, because you do have experience there as well. So could you share with us one of your biggest obstacles that you faced when you were just starting out?
Yeah, I can actually do that. And I thought about it. And one of my biggest obstacles was, how do I sell myself, actually? Because I came from the Dutch government, which is not a commercial organization. It's very governmental and very hierarchic. And you never learned how to sell yourself as a professional. So when I became an entrepreneur, that was my biggest challenge. How do I sell myself? How do I promote myself so the outer world actually sees me as a professional? And next to that, my network was mainly in the Dutch government, also partly with the Dutch companies, but it's very interesting how you actually, when you change roles, people see you still in the old role. So as a professional, I really needed to show the Dutch companies I worked for and worked with what this different role was and what they could have expect from me. And luckily, and that was one of my biggest pros, I had a huge network. And this network helped me. Some of the people that knew me really well introduced me at companies. And they were convinced about the quality I could deliver to a project or to a company, and the different perspectives I could actually provide. And that helped me a lot. But still, like, selling yourself as an entrepreneur in the first years was quite challenging. And also as a woman entrepreneur, it's interesting how you actually have to, and it's not really a matter of fighting, but your daily rate, which you can ask for when you get hired for a project, that's quite challenging as a woman, because as a man, they expect you to ask like 100 to 150 euros, for example, for a consultancy project. But as a woman, you always think, but that's a lot of money. And can I really ask that? And is that acceptable? What would the company say? And then there was always this balance between, in the beginning, I used to work for smaller companies, or so SMEs, which didn't always have a lot of money. So you always have to be very careful on balancing in which rate you can ask. The bigger companies and government companies are actually used to the higher rates, but the smaller companies aren't. So that was quite a challenge. So selling yourself as a professional and defining the exact rate with a certain customer.
Interesting, and definitely not easy, because it's very complex to look into who you are when fulfilling the role, for stepping into a business that is meaningful for others, to also remunerate it against something, and at the same time be aware of what value do you bring in so that you can translate that to monetary terms. But your resilience really shines through how you tackled those challenges. And for our listeners who are facing their own challenges right now, what advice would you give to women who are in the early stages of their entrepreneurial journey and do feel quite overwhelmed?
Well, at first I would say, don't become an entrepreneur for the money, because it's hard work. And it's mainly, I chose to become an entrepreneur to mainly be able to choose the things that I would like to do, and maybe to take on the projects that I would like to do, and that I know that would give me a lot of gratitude and fun and happiness. So don't become an entrepreneur for just the money, because it is hard work, and it is you need to be resilient, and you need to be capable to cope with uncertainties. And the second advice I would actually give other women entrepreneurs is to trust yourself. Trust yourself that you know enough and that you can actually trust on your own professionalism to be a good entrepreneur and to add value to projects of your customers. And allow yourself to make mistakes. Because that's, as a woman, you maybe, and this is something I personally also have in within me, you want to do everything in a perfect way most of the time. And as an entrepreneur and as a starting entrepreneur, you can't do it all by yourself, and you can't be the perfect thing. You can't be the perfect, make the perfect situation work. There is no perfect in entrepreneurship. So don't thrive entrepreneur. Don't thrive for perfection, but thrive for allowing yourself to make mistakes.
Fantastic. I think this is the best advice we can give, because it is not about perfectionism. It is not about something that you can deliver in its utmost full colors. And you are a human being. Making mistakes along the process allows you to experiment, to pilot, to bring in new value, to step ahead and step back, and also reflect. And that's the power of the entrepreneurs of the future that we are currently describing. But speaking of advice, I know a lot of entrepreneurs, and in specific women, struggle with balancing their personal lives and the demands of running a business. How do you manage that? And what do you have as a strategy that have worked well for you?
The work-life balance, that I could be really short about that. And for me, this works. My advice would be take a dog.
Okay, yeah, I love that.
It sounds crazy maybe, because a dog also limits your freedom and limits you working at customers. But at the same time, with the corona period behind us, working from home is also a possibility. And actually, what a dog does for you is it brings structure to your day. The dog has to go out 3 times a day. The dog will take you from your work and from your desk by him or her wanting to play with you for a short time. So get a dog.
I love this piece of advice.
Yeah, and it for me it works. And at the second, well, secondly, also try, if you have a partner, make sure you have a partner who really understands your passion for entrepreneurship. That's actually crucial, because if your partner is a person, and this is not a judgment, or this is just, this is how it worked for me in practice. If a partner doesn't understand why you became an entrepreneur and doesn't understand that you sometimes do need to work in the weekends and do need to work at night or need to get up really early just to go that extra mile for a customer, then your work-life balance won't be ideal. If you have a partner who works, for example, at the Dutch government, I couldn't have a partner now who works at the Dutch government, because I know that will clash with my schedule. You need to be to have a really flexible partner and a really understanding partner regarding entrepreneurship.
Excellent. So close to nature, having a dog, or just having walks on a very regularly manner, and then introducing these elements of regeneration in your life, and at the same time talking about partnership, being very clear on the expectations and the relationship you're stepping in, that's already very mindful and very much kind of awareness that we can build upon. But let's talk a little bit now more about Seas. You've built this amazing brand, this business. What sets Seas apart from others in the industry? And what's been the driving force behind its success?
Two questions. Two actually very challenging questions that I asked myself when I started to become an entrepreneur. Coming from Africa, going through all these adventures, I now had to think about, okay, what makes me different from others? And in the first year, I actually continued my role as a project manager / change manager, which I actually fulfilled in the Dutch government. And I continued this role. And then I found out in the first year that there are thousands of other people who are project managers and change managers. So after 1 year, I decided, okay, I need to do something different and I need to figure out what makes me unique. And I got myself a business coach with whom I had regularly conversations on what are my USPs and what makes me different from other project managers and change managers. And I actually also went back to my roots. I am actually an industrial product designer, and I have a background in business administrations. And during my studies, I always was working on processes and trying to develop processes towards customer satisfaction. And this is actually a role that now has become more and more familiar and more popular. But it wasn't when I was still studying, and it's called a service designer. And I eventually discovered that with every project I did and every work I already had in my career, I was a service designer. So that is exactly my unique proposition. As a service designer, you look from the outside in. And you start with the customer, and based on what the customer wants and needs are, you try to redevelop or reconstruct the services for the customer of a company. And this is part of CIS, is also part of my strategic vision. And CIS contains the three symbols of observe, flow, and grow. If you look at my logo, you see an eye. You see a little wave and you see a leaf. And this is observe with the eye. This is what I do in every project or every project I undertake. First, I observe what the environment looks like and the situation is. Then I start to create, okay, we need to make a change, but how is this change going to be realized? So there needs to become a wave towards the change. And when you change, actually, you also grow. So that's my strategic vision, and that's where I actually separate myself from the usual project managers, change managers, as a service designer. And the red line throughout all this is that I actually, my internal drive is development. Whether it's personal development or organizational development, I think they're the same, because organization development is also about people. And everything I do is related to development. So that's the two elements that actually make me stand out from other project managers, change managers, service designers. That's why CIS actually in the years that I started developed itself. It took me a couple of years, to be honest.
Fantastic. And I can imagine that, because now you have a philosophy behind the business. It is not just where you're going and what you're actually selling or providing. It is a whole concept behind that is much stronger than a piece of advice or a piece of service or even a complete one. So that is definitely something that I'm sure our listeners will be inspired to hear. Moreover, maybe to make it a little bit more alive, could you share about a recent or a project that you have completed that could a little bit explain what you just described in terms of philosophy?
Yes, I can. And it's quite a... it is always challenging, because the projects that I do are mostly on a strategic level, and they're less on an operational level. But I work with a lot of people who actually do the work in the operational level. So recently I'm actually working on a project in the baby healthcare. which is quite interesting. It's focused on a digital exchange of information. For example, when you become a mother, or when you believe that you are pregnant, you go to a doctor and you see several specialists. And all these specialists have a small piece of information of your medical record. And in the Netherlands, there is now, at the moment, this project is already running for 5 years. They're trying to digitalize it on a national level. So there are now 9 regions that are doing this project and trying to make this change, which goes together with a lot of stakeholders on the ICT side of the project. And what I do is actually I'm actually the project coordinator in the region West, in The Hague and Leiden mainly, and with all the hospitals in this region, the obstetricians, the people who actually look after the unborn child, try to set a service in motion in order to make this digital exchange possible. It's extremely complex, but that's where I, as an entrepreneur, am really triggered, because I love chaos. And once you provide me with chaos, I'm going to structure the whole project. So this is what I'm doing at the moment. And it's quite a challenging project, because it's like the first project in the Netherlands based on network healthcare. So we're also we're pioneering in the healthcare sector, because based on this project, they are going to, the Ministry of Healthcare is going to actually extend the network healthcare in other medical fields.
Fantastic. I have to say that this is definitely mind-blowing, because, yeah, we talk about healthcare, we talk about networks, digitization of data, and at the same time, a process that has so far not been pioneered and piloted. And you have to create structure, and you have to create meaning for every relevant party that's in it. And at the end of the day, it's about babies, and it is about a very sensitive and vulnerable theme and topic for every player who is involved. So truly exciting. And it is clear that you have a real passion for what you do. So we are very curious here, together with the listeners, following this podcast series of the Eyewear Project. What's next for you and Cees? Do you have any exciting projects or goals on the horizon that you can share with us?
It's interesting that you ask this, because at the moment, no. And why, I can explain. I, as an entrepreneur, have chosen to be my one and only entrepreneur. I don't have colleagues within my company. I'm just the one person company. But I have a lot of partners who I work with in my network. And this is a extinct decision of mine, not to have colleagues and not to pay salaries and everything, because then other people become independent on me, and I choose not to as an entrepreneur. So I'm a little bit different from other entrepreneurs. I don't have the ambition to become really big as a company. I don't have the ambition to grow and to have a lot of employees and work internationally. The funny thing is, I already worked internationally. So that ambition, you know what, that's already fulfilled. And now I've lost the question.
Future projects, future aspirations, goals.
And the reason why I don't have a future project is that, because I'm the only person in my company, and I do have a project now, which is really challenging, and I provide some trainings on customer intimacy, on project and change management, and I work at the TUAS, the Hague University, so my schedule is quite fully booked. So there is no room for another future project, funny enough. But at the same time, I need to be very aware, and this is also a challenge as an entrepreneur, I need to be very aware of the when my project in the healthcare sector ends, there needs to be a new project. Otherwise, I will have a gap in my income. So that's always a strange balance you need to find as a single person entrepreneur. Your project you're now in will ask every second of you and of your time. But then again, you also need to look forward to see what the next project will be. And lucky for me now, the project in Leiden and my work at the university will still continue for the coming years. So there's no need to already look ahead and look for future projects. But I must say, if I would think of a new future project within a year, I probably would do another service design project in the healthcare sector. Because I've learned in the last two years, that there's a big need on entrepreneurship to make a change in the healthcare sector. The healthcare sector in the Netherlands is very old-fashioned and it's very risk-evasive. New things are hardly tested or experimented with. So yeah, I would see myself in a new healthcare project again. Although it's not, it might not be my background, but I know that they need people like me with my skills.
Fantastic, Anki. Out of the response to my last question, I think there are a lot of insights for our learners to grasp and grab, because it's interesting. Lastly, you spoke about this multidisciplinarity. It doesn't have to be your field, your sector, so that you feel comfortable in spreading value, knowledge and expertise, experience across. At the same time, an entrepreneur has always to be mindful of what comes next in terms of income gaps and balancing it out when you're on your own, especially in the beginning, or further if that is a conscious decision to do so. And at the same time, to also see that an entrepreneur is not just being characterized or depicted by one single activity or a project. You're multifunctional as such, because you do deliver trainings next to that, taking care of a project, and you could as well be asked from education, because what you are capable of needs to be brought further and exchanged with the future learners of tomorrow. So fantastic. Wow, it is truly exciting. But before we wrap up, I really would like to ask our guest a few rapid fire questions. So are you ready, Anki?
Let's
do it. Okay. So what's one book every entrepreneur, in your opinion, should read?
Ooh, one book that really inspired me, but as an entrepreneur interested in organizations, is Reinventing Organizations by Frédéric Laloux.
All right, Reinventing Organizations, Frédéric Laloux. What's the best piece of advice you have ever received?
Don't think, just do.
We have a doer here, and that was absolutely clear. I'm sure you listeners have caught that immediately. Who is your biggest role model or inspiration?
I actually have different, it's not really a role model, but people that inspired me during my career. And there are certain persons that did that. One of them was my mentor at The Hague University, who actually told me that I was very good in managing creative people and advised me to go to do another study at Erasmus, Business Administration. And I eventually chose the path of innovation management. So that was one person. And the second person who really made a big impact on my life was actually a captain on a sailing boat. In my final year at the Dutch government, I was so busy. I had like three jobs within the Dutch government, and I was writing a book on project and change management. And my manager told me, you still need to go on a holiday before the end of the year. So I went on a holiday. I booked a sailing trip on the Seychelles. And there was a captain on that sailing ship who asked me the question, okay, Anki, what makes you truly happy? Can you answer that question? And this question was like, he planted this little seed in my head, and that was the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. Because I came home from that holiday, and actually on the airport in Paris, I decided I need to quit my job. I need to be in Africa next year, and after Africa, I need to become an entrepreneur. So that was another person. And during my entrepreneurship, I actually, my business coach, who sometimes actually kicks my ass, for me to stay on the right path, he is also one of the persons who inspire me in my entrepreneurship. And I actually would advise everyone to get a business coach and someone who is constantly also critical to what you do and that you stay on doing the right things.
Fantastic. What's the most important quality, in your opinion, an entrepreneur has to have?
That's a good question. I would say trust your gut feeling.
Okay.
And that's the funny thing is that when I studied and worked for the Dutch government, I was really good at using my brain power. And in Africa is like a different continent where brain power doesn't really work. And in Africa, I learned to trust my intuition. And that made me so much happier as a human being. So trust your gut feeling. If you believe a customer will give you a headache, please don't do the project, because that will become reality.
Thank you. Very powerful too. Yeah, trust your gut feeling. Go with intuition. It is not just about the brain power and the expertise and really the fear that you have to come in strong and know it all. So if you could give one piece of advice, you already gave quite a few, but still, to your younger self this time, what would that be?
Trust yourself to be able to start. I started my company when I was 38. I could have easily started my company when I was 24, 25, but I didn't, because there are so many, well, society actually expects you to, after you studied, to contribute to the society and to get a career and everything, but you can also get a career as an entrepreneur. So my biggest advice to myself, to my younger self, would be start sooner rather than later.
Okay, great. So those were definitely amazing answers. So thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today, Anki. It's been truly inspiring to hear about your journey, your successes, and your advice. But before we close, where can our listeners connect with you and learn more about SEES and your future and current endeavors?
Well, I would say look me up on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to connect. I don't connect to anonymous blind LinkedIn introductions or invitations. So if you would like to add a small text, and ask tell me why you are interested in connecting with me, I would highly appreciate it. And I do have a website, but it's in Dutch, so might not everyone who is on the internet might not understand it. But LinkedIn is the best way, I think.
Perfect. Thank you again, Anki, for joining us today, and thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with someone who needs entrepreneurial inspiration. We'll be back in our next episode with more stories from incredible women in business. Until then, keep pushing forward and chasing those dreams. Do not forget to check our project resources. Maybe there is something there which you certainly will find useful. This podcast episode has been recorded within the framework of the Eyewear Project, empowering young entrepreneurs women with education and additional resources. Thank you.